West. It's a Sexy 720. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up, Mario Smith's going to join us. We'll talk about the needs of Hyde Park and South Shore as we get ready for the runoff election. Mario's great. I can't wait to air that conversation we had at the Sophie Hotel on beautiful 53rd Street in Chicago. That's coming up. But first, let's talk about expectations. Hope springs eternal. The Chicago, no one knows that more than the Northsiders, but now it seems to be the Southsiders as everyone looks to a brand new season when it comes to baseball, which starts this week, which, the earliest start in Major League Baseball history, mm-hmm. feels like it. Kevin Powell's here, of course, covering baseball for WGN Radio. You can hear him on the Rokan Show with Anna DeFlantes every afternoon. Good to see you, buddy.
Great. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so this is a segment that is near and dear. I always get excited to talk about Chicago baseball at the beginning of the season. It's a great sport, and I love everything about the White Sox and the Cubs. And let's start with the Cubs. Sloan Park in Arizona saw the record-setting crowds this week. Yeah. The other night, they broke a record, which is hard to believe. It just seems that Cubs fandom is getting bigger and bigger, which is it's hard for me to understand that because I thought it was at its threshold. I thought it was at there was no more room on the bandwagon.
Well, I think it's because it's a golden era of Cubs baseball. It really is. I mean, look at the superstars up and down the roster. They've won the World Series, obviously. I think people are just taking advantage of it a little bit more. They're realizing, wow, times were really bad for a long time. Times are really good right now. Let's take advantage of it. Let's do the Sloan Park. Let's do Wrigley, all those sorts of things. So I think if you're a Cub fan, just soak it all in for as long as you can. Because what Theo Epstein has basically done with this organization over the past 5-6 years, he's turned them into a constant competitor.
Let's talk about their offseason. Let's start with the Cubs. Okay. The Cubs, of course, everyone had rumors about Bryce Harper and maybe adding another big name in some form. It didn't come to fruition for the Northsiders, but it's really about who's back, who's healthy. And when you look at the Chicago Cubs starting rotation, the starting pitchers five, we've talked about this, maybe the best in baseball.
Yeah, it's I think it's definitely at least in the top three. They can definitely make an argument for that. Cole Hamels basically turning his season around last year and turning back into the Cole Hamels we thought or we had seen before from Hamels totally changed the rotation because Chatwood wasn't doing anything for them. So all of a sudden, top to bottom, I mean, Kyle Hendricks is your fourth starter. And he just signed the four-year extension. So you're looking at Lester, the Quintana, Hamels, Hendricks. So,
and Darvish.
And Darvish. And Darvish started spring hot. I mean, he was throwing 97 off the mound, and that's coming off an injury the first week of spring training. So he's sort of my pick to click for Cubs pitchers is Yu Darvish. I really do think he kind of turns the corner here after a really disappointing first season.
I was going to say, a lot of playing baseball these days for the Chicago Cubs is about expectations. If you sign a big contract and you come to a World Series contender, fans expect something. Last year was a wash with the injuries to Yu Darvish. Does he have something to prove to Cubs fans?
I think so. Cubs fans weren't happy with Yu Darvish last year, especially because Jake Arrieta walked. And that was a real option. Was it bring back Arrieta or do you go get Darvish? And a lot of Cubs fans still do, I think, believe they should have just brought back Arrieta, who had a pretty good year with the Phillies last year. So I think there's a lot to look. You got Darvish for 5 more years. He committed $126 million to him at a 6-year contract. So he's got a lot to prove. He's got to win over Cub fans. He hasn't won over anybody yet.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to the bullpen.
Okay.
Another area. This may be the weakness for the Chicago Cubs team. Brandon Morrow came over from the Dodgers. A lot of expectations for him last year. He was hurt. He's continued to be hurt throughout spring training. They didn't really do much to improve this area of the squad, and it was an area last year that kind of imploded down the stretch.
Yeah. They did have a solid finish to the season, but I think one of the reasons people look at it as the weakest point of the team is because they don't really have the big flashy power arm type guy. It's just sort of guys that are your mid-90s type guys, have a couple pitches they can work with. They don't have the Aroldis Chapmans or, what are these, or Kimbrel or one of these guys.
Right.
So I think that's one of the reasons people are a little bit down on it, but I think it's better than people think. I mean, you still have the Stropes, Montgomery, Cechek, CJ Edwards, who is always sort of a crapshoot, though, and I think that makes a lot of Cub fans anxious. But it's not dominant.
I just feel like the last couple winners, right? You have seen even the Brewers take this on. That
no question.
They have some arms on the back end of their bullpen that are lights out. And it was the Cubs in 2016 with Aroldis Chapman, who famously came in what, the sixth inning. There was this idea that those big arms are needed if you're going to make a stretch run in the playoffs.
I mean, it is sort of... I mean, it's tough to argue against that, but I think Brandon Morrow is that guy when healthy. When he pitched last year, he was dominant. Nobody could touch him, and then he had the injury. So I think they believe this is a bullpen good enough to kind of build the bridge to Morrow. And the bullpen is something that is probably the... I don't know if I want to say easy, but it's definitely upgradable in season because teams are always going to be selling off relievers if they're out of contention by the time the deadline comes.
It almost feels like that's a strategy for a lot of these teams. You see Craig Kimbrel, nobody wants him, or I think he's signing with the Brewers maybe, but nobody wants him because they know they can get those kind of arms from teams that want to deal at when they're out of contention.
That's true, and I think that's probably what the Cubs' game plan is. I think they've been very... Everything they've said about their own bullpen, they've been pretty confident with. So I think that's the idea. Let the guys they have now build a bridge, get Brandon Morrow healthy. Maybe he misses the first month, month and a half, and then you get him back and ease him back into things. But I don't think the bullpen is as weak as some people think.
Yeah. Let's talk about the offensive side, and then we'll get to the White Sox as well. Okay. Okay, so this team reminds me a lot of the 90s Yankees. This where you could go six or seven deep with all-stars and these guys who can hit in the clutch. They don't necessarily do it in the playoffs, but you're seeing a team that is getting that used to be young and inexperienced, that was encouraging in the way that they didn't know how to do it. But they're aging now, but they're aging into their prime. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, even the outfield when you look at Kyle Schwarber and Albert Amora. This is a dominant lineup.
It's dominant. It's versatile. Joe Maddon loves that because he can move guys around the field. You can play a bunch of guys in a whole bunch of different spots. You even look at like the Bodies and Descalzo and Zobrist, those are guys you can play in a lot of different positions, and Joe Maddon takes advantage of that. So it's a dynamic lineup with superstars up and down the lineup. So Chris Bryant is, I'll give you another pick to click, Justin. That's Chris Bryant. I think he's going to have a huge bounce back year. And I know he's nagging shoulder injury.
Even though he's under contract, it almost is a contract year. You've seen how all these teams are signing their guys before their contracts come up.
Right.
It seems like Chris Bryant's the next to have that happen because he's still playing. In a way, he won arbitration, but he's still playing kind of on his rookie contract.
Still has a couple more years until free agency, but that's the next big one, right? Because we always are kind of looking ahead, and it was Bryce Harper for years. We said, when's this guy going to hit free agency? He's going to have a historic contract, and he did for about 15 minutes, and then Mike Trout's like, you know what? I'm going to sign a $430 million contract. But we're seeing extensions being handed out because I think a lot of these players saw the slow free agency over the past couple of years, and some of them are just opting to re-up with a team rather than even risk the idea of heading to free agency, which is crazy to think because free agency has always been like, okay, 6 years, we're done with our rookie contract, and we're going to hit free agency, and that's when we'll hit it big. Free agency was everything, and I think it still is. But look at all the guys getting extensions. The Mike Trout got $430 million. Nolan Arenado re-upped with the Rockies. He didn't even get to free agency. Jacob deGrom signing an extension.
Yeah, today,
Kyle Hendricks today signing an extension. So maybe at some point next year, Chris Bryant signs an extension with the Cubs when they realize, you know, Chris Bryant has an MVP already under his belt. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, it looks like he's tracking towards a Hall of Fame type career. I don't think that's really a stretch.
When you guys talk to him, does he talk about being a Cub for life? Does he shoulder any animosity to the service time stuff that happened to him early in his career?
I don't think he was not happy about that.
Yeah.
Remember that whole fiasco when
they held
him down
for like 9 days? I wonder if he's just kind of like seething about it, or if he's like, "No, I'm over it. I'm a Cub for life."
He's been pretty vocal this spring training, though, talking about that and how he thinks it's ridiculous. I think a lot of people think it's kind of ridiculous as well. Is your question basically asking me if that would in any way impact contract negotiations? I don't think so, because at the end of the day, it'll still come to dollars. Yeah. And then, like, he's good friends with Bryce Harper. When that went down, Chris Bryant was asked by, he says, "I would love to be a Cub for life." So why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Okay, my last question on the Cubs before we take a break and we'll do the White Sox. Joe Maddon, is he on the hot seat?
Yes, he is. Yes, he
How
is
that possible?
I've had this conversation with multiple people about Joe Madden's status. And look, if it was 5-10 years ago and you were having a conversation about man, one day when the Cubs win the World Series, part of that conversation would have been, yeah, the manager who leads him to the World Series can be a Cub
for life. Right?
He's never going to leave Chicago. And I don't know. Cub fans, I think, are still upset over the stress he put them through with the Aroldis Chapman World Series thing. I'm not kidding. I really think a lot of people are still mad at him for it. Look, Theo Epstein's the one who says he's said it multiple times. Like, there's a shelf life to a manager, to a coach, those sorts of things. Yes, to your point, I agree. It is completely crazy that we're just not even 3 years removed from the first World Series in forever. And Joe Maddon is somehow on the hot seat. Look, he's a lame duck manager. Yeah. It's tough to say he's not. They had a disappointing finish last year.
That blows my mind. Next time we talk, because I want to move on to the White Sox, okay, let's talk Theo Epstein. Because he had he had kind of at the beginning of his career in Chicago, he said, hey, I own 5 years and see where we're at. We're coming up on 5 years.
Right.
Kevin Powell's in studio. We're talking baseball as it starts this week. Coming up, we'll talk about the Chicago White Sox. Extension 720. Stay with us.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago's proud of you.
Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman. Kevin Powell is in studio. We're talking opening day, Thursday, baseball in Chicago. We just heard from the Cubs. Let's talk Chicago White Sox. A lot of energy on the south side of Chicago because of one name, Eloy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's turned from Sox fans' frustrations to Sox fans' joy over the fact that we thought it was going to be another year of service time, but he signed an extension and he is going to be in the opening day or on the roster and in the opening day lineup. It's huge for Sox fans. It's huge for the Sox.
No question about it. And look, they were deflated after missing out on Machado, but out of nowhere, this news breaks last week, and I think it was sort of a jolt in the arm for a lot of White Sox fans. Yes, this is a rebuild. I don't think many are thinking they're going to make a run at the playoffs, but that changed a whole lot. I mean, we got to see him play over the weekend at Camelback, and it's just seeing his name in the lineup just kind of gets you going a little bit more. And I think it's also sort of a breath of fresh air just for baseball fans to, as you and I were just talking about Chris Bryant's frustrations with the whole service time thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing a guy just get the contracts. Let's just start the year.
Forget
this goofiness of you, quote, working on your defense in the minors for the first 3 weeks before we call you up. So I think it was just the whole thing was very positive, and we get to see Eloy Jimenez in just a couple of days.
Okay, so we were spoiled in the way baseball fans are spoiled, and a lot of these rookie phenoms that come up and names on the north side of Chicago, look at Kyle Schwarber, but more importantly, Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, when they get to the bigs, they rake. Is this what we're going to see from Eloy Jimenez, or are we going to see the more Yoan Moncada style where he doesn't know how to hit a curveball and it takes 3 years for him to get adjusted?
I think he's going to rake. He had a slow spring, and we talked to him on Friday or Saturday when the press conference formally announcing the actual contract, and we asked him, these contract negotiations, Rick Hahn told us, have been going on since the general manager's meeting. So for the past 3 months, basically, this has kind of been lingering over his head. And he said it did put a lot of pressure on him in spring training, and it kind of distracted him, and he wasn't able to focus. He signed the deal, and the next day he went 3-for-3 with a homer in spring training game. So he's just so much talent, man, and so much power off his bat. I think he's going to seamlessly fit in.
Okay, so Eloy Jimenez joins Jose Abreu and Yoan Moncada on the offensive side. And I stop short there. I mean, maybe we can add Tim Anderson to the mix, but a real kind of hodgepodge ad hoc lineup that Rick Renteria is dealing with on opening day.
Yeah, and outside Eloy, there isn't a ton of talent in the outfield. You have John Jay, Adam Engel, who is great in the field. Hitting's another story with Adam Engel. So not a ton of talent there. Tim Anderson seems very comfortable, and you know, nobody was more happy Machado didn't sign with the Sox than Tim Anderson. He was very happy that whole saga was over and he could just focus on being the everyday shortstop. Yeah, you're right. Not a ton of firepower on the offensive end of things, but I think Eloy joining this lineup takes a lot of pressure off a guy like Moncada.
Let's talk about the starting line, pitching, the rotation. Carlos Rodon had a good second half to the season, but there have been a lot of question marks when it comes to Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez. Are we going to see anything from these guys this year? Is this their breakout make or break year?
It could be. Look, Carlos Rodon had a stretch last year where he was one of the better pitchers in the American League, and then he had a really bad September to finish this year. Remember, this is a first-round pick for the Sox, a homegrown guy. They think can be an ace-type pitcher. He has nasty stuff. So if he stays healthy, that's the key for Carlos Rodon. I think you could see some big things happen. But Lucas Giolito, had the highest ERA in American League last year. He's got to work on his command issues. And Ronaldo Lopez was a surprise last year. He had a pretty solid year. And I don't think a lot of people were
looking for
that.
Except for the game I went to where I said a Blue Jays game, and it was like 12-0 in the first
inning. Don't go to a game then, JK, that Lopez is starting.
That's right. And then the bullpen, I will give the Sox credit. The bullpen has been improved. They've got some guys down there that have some experience closing out ballgames. Could be a new and improved look for the White Sox.
I think so. There's some interesting arms, particularly lefty arms for the White Sox I like. But, you know, you're looking at Colome. Manny Banuelos is a guy who was this highly touted prospect for the Yankees. And injuries derailed his career. The Sox took a flyer on him. He had a great spring. He made the club. So that's a guy to watch as well,
all
Manny
right.
Banuelos.
Well, we'll obviously be talking a lot of White Sox baseball here on WGN Radio. Kevin Powell giving us the preview for opening day, which is coming up here on Thursday. Kev, great to see you.
Thanks for having me. And congrats on bringing back extension 720, my friend.
Thanks,
it sounds
buddy.
Great.